lives. Amen. You may be seated. We are at the beginning of Lent. Our gospel text actually should have kept going a little bit and talked about Jesus going into the wilderness for 40 days where he was with the animals and ministered to by angels. So there's this sense before his ministry begins. So he gets baptized by John. There's this voice that comes down from heaven which says, "This is my beloved, my son with whom I'm well pleased." And then Jesus goes off to be by himself for 40 days. And in Mark, this is often in Matthew, and this is where Jesus gets tempted by Satan. But in Mark, Mark doesn't record a temptation. Jesus is just there in this wild place where there are wild animals. And he's by himself for 40 days as a way of preparing himself. Goes out into the emptiness and the vastness of this place, and he prepares himself, and then he steps onto the scene and begins his ministry, and that's where he says, "The time is at hand. This is a Kairos moment. The kingdom of God is near. Turn, change your thinking, change your direction, and believe in this good news." Right? That's the sequence that happens in the beginning of Mark. So we are on this journey. We're in this journey of following in the footsteps of Jesus. That's fundamentally at its heart what our faith practice is. That's what it means to identify as a Christian. That we are those who choose to follow in those footsteps in some way and discover what happens to us and to our lives and to our loves and to our joys and to our pains as we go on that journey, as we trod that road. And it is a road of discovery and adventure and suffering. There is suffering that lies in this path as well. But there is suffering that's redeemed, suffering that's transformed, and new life is given. And that's actually what we as a community of followers of Jesus, and we as a along with other communities of followers of Jesus here on top of this hill and in the Tri-Cities and in the Lower Mainland are about to do together. That's what this period of Lent is. It's this 40 days, like Jesus was in the wilderness. We take this 40 days of wilderness ourselves as we move in this march towards Holy Week, Palm Sunday, Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, and then Easter. Historically, what Christians have done in this process is, and they've used this time as a way of deepening their own spiritual journey, as a way of preparing themselves as a time of spiritual kind of renewal. One of the things that Christians have often done is that they've let things go. They decided that there are things in my life that I need to let go of or abstain from or fast from. And so there's a long tradition as a spiritual practice. Fasting is actually it's a cleansing. And often it has taken the shape of being kind of a self-denial and a self-mortification, a sense of suffering because we suffer before Jesus suffers on the cross. But it doesn't have to be that. It can be a way of letting go as a way of cleansing, as a way of creating space for ourselves. Others, during the journey of Lent, have taken something on. They've decided that, rather than giving something up for Lent, I'm actually going to do something that I never do. I'm actually going to, volunteer some time. That I'm going to volunteer at this place that I've been meaning to volunteer and never get around to, so that's what I'm going to do. Or that guy I pass on the street, you know what? Every day I'm just going to give him a dollar and let it be. Or these people in my life that I never seem to have enough time for, I'm going to kind of reach out and be in daily contact or weekly contact during this period. I want to do something that's going to connect me to my community, connect me to God, to connect me even deeper to my own self. So I'm going to take something on. So that's also been a Lenten practice for some folk. So we've purifying ourselves, letting go, taking something on. And Lent traditionally hasn't been a time of celebration, but it can be a time of really honoring the goodness of our lives and stepping deeper into what is good in our lives. So this morning, the youth are inviting us into participate into these four ways of doing Lent, right? And they're activities. These are activities that people do. And it's a kind of prayer. We often don't think of prayer as action. And it's unfortunate that we don't. I mean, prayer often, you know, our paradigm for prayer is that it's words. It's words that we somehow speak. And as good Anglicans, we've got lots of words, and we know how to use beautiful, well-crafted sentences to pray. But then prayer is often also a matter of listening. Prayer is often can be a matter of doing and being able to do. Something as an act of prayer can be profoundly transformative. When people talk about learning styles, you know, people are auditory or they're visual or they're kinesthetic. So this is an opportunity for us to kind of step into kinesthetic prayer, step into an act of prayer that the youth have kind of arranged for us and set up. And what they're inviting us into is to take the next 15 to 20 minutes, depending upon how long it takes, and pray through action. Outside, I mean, through the narthex and then outside, you're invited to a station that is about letting go, about writing down those things that you would like to get rid of in your life, or to delete for a while, or move on. And so you're going to be invited to write those things down on a piece of paper and then have the opportunity to burn them symbolically as a way of letting go. Over here, the youth are inviting us to kind of record and take on something. What is something that we want to do during this journey of Lent? And so there are rocks that are present and pens, and you're invited to write what it is that you would like to take with you and take on that rock, and then take it with you. Over here, you're invited into cleansing, remembering those waters, the deep waters of our baptism by which we've been cleansed and renewed. And so there'll be a hand-washing station over here and in St. Lawrence's original baptismal font in this station. And then in the lobby, the youth have invited us to celebrate the breath within us and the spirit within us. You know, it's the Genesis story that we read today. Adam, the story goes that God shaped Adam out of the dust of the ground. And then God leaned down and breathed God's breath into Adam to give it life. And so then the word in Hebrew and the word in Greek for breath, for spirit, for wind is all the same. It's ruah in the Hebrew, and it's pneuma in the Greek. But that sense that our breath, the very breath that comes in and out of us is filled with spirit, and is filled with the spirit of God. And so in the narthex, we'll be invited to blow your breath, and it'll be encapsulated in this jeweled bubble that will, you know, remind you of the beauty of the goodness of your breath, right, as an act of prayer. And then here centrally, for those of you who didn't have the chance, or if you want the chance, we'll have an opportunity to do an imposition of ashes as the beginning of Lent. We're reminded that you are to remember that you are dust, and it is to dust that you shall return. Right, beginning with the goodness of the earth from which we've come from. So, and you're invited to just sit and meditate. There'll be music playing here. I ask that we close the doors between this room and the narthex, just because the different kinds of energy will be... There's a difference between doing bubbles and thinking about baptism. So, So I invite you to do that. We'll take the next 15 minutes to do that. You can self-select and move around as you go. There'll be youth at each of those stations, and the youth can go ahead and go to those stations and be prepared at those stations. We'll kind of bring it in when we need to bring it in. But this is your time to make of it what you will and to pray as you wish. And then I guess I do have a sentence. Let me read this sentence. Dear friends, in Christ, in Lent, we mark the journey to the resurrection with a sign of ashes, a sign of repentance and change, a sign of new beginnings. Ashes are sown on the earth for fertilizer. Ashes burn up what we no longer need so we can be reborn like the phoenix. It is from the death of our former selves that we were born into the promise of Easter. Let us begin.